Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the always updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate New York, and through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and also Boston, Massachusetts. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, for personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property that's listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across the markets we serve. All you have to do is locally dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically, and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. Drive by these signs, and there's 14 pictures and 9 phone numbers and QR codes and everything else. It's hard to decipher. You have to stop, take a photo of it, and then go back to your house and try to figure it out. Don't bother. Just get the street number of that house and remember the street it's on, and then dial 631-4800. Everything else is automatic. We have a very active market right now, and there's a shortage of homes available on the market today, which makes it all the more important that you know exactly how to go about this process, which is why it's important, as I mentioned earlier, to get pre-purchased committed before you buy a house. That allows you to enter the market with cash, and you want to make sure you're as competitive as possible in today's market. And there's also other things that you'll need to do. If you have a home to sell, you want to make sure that you can enter the market without a contingency. And there's only one way to do that that's absolutely assured, and that's the seller security plan. Very simply, we will buy your home or ERA will buy it. We'll sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's extremely important that you know that when you go into a transaction that your house is sold or that there's an assurance that it will be sold. 633-9400 to learn about the seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA sales professional. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. We also are supporters of the Buffalo Bisons, and it's great to see that Toronto is playing here in town. I wish we could all go to the games, but that's part of hopefully the next phase of our recovery from this COVID-19 pandemic. We are live this morning on WB 930 AM, and if you'd like to participate in today's show, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls. You can also text us at that same number, 803-0930, if you'd like to have a question or comment about what my guest will be talking about today. And we have a very special show for you today. My guest live remote, respecting social distance, is Dr. Candace Johnson. Dr. Johnson is the CEO and president of Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Good morning, Candace. Well, let me see. I don't see Jerry. Okay, well, my guest is Candace Johnson, and she should be with us shortly. I see that she's on the line here, but I'm not sure why we're not connected with her. But let me tell you a little bit about Candace Johnson while we're waiting here. Dr. Johnson is the CEO and president of Roswell Park, as I indicated earlier, and she's been with the Institute since 2002. And Jerry, are we ready? Okay, great. Candace, well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry about that little guffaw there, Candace. That's very...
and you weren't hearing me, but good morning. I'm delighted to be here today.
It's great to have you with us. Candace, you've been with Roswell Park since 2002, and you've moved through a series of positions progressing rapidly through the organization. And I learned recently that you are the very first woman to head a major cancer research or diagnostic institution in the United States. Is that correct?
That, it is correct. If you look at freestanding cancer centers, which Roswell Park is one, across the nation, there are no women that lead these organizations. There are women that lead cancer centers that are embedded into universities and some of our academic institutions across the country, but none of a freestanding center. And I'm very proud of that, Peter, because I think it's a great achievement. You have no idea how many young women I interact with, even that stop me in the grocery store or the gas station to ask me questions, mothers that want me to meet their daughters. So I'm very proud of that fact.
Well, you should be, and we're very proud of you, obviously, Candace, because it's important that in today's world that we acknowledge things like this, because it's, you know, we're at a time in history right now where I think a place like Buffalo needs to take its take credit where credit is due, and certainly this is one of those opportunities for us, and we're grateful that you're here. You have a degree in immunology. You have a doctoral degree in immunology. You're not a medical doctor. What is immunology?
So, you know, it's the study of the immune response. And, you know, even back when I was in graduate school, it was always thought that the immune response would be something significant in fighting cancer. And what happens in our bodies, and, you know, our immune response is extremely powerful. It's a series of all different kinds of cell types. They circulate through our body. When you're immunized against a certain disease as a young child, you remain immune to that disease because your immune system is poised to attack anything that comes into your body so that you don't get measles or mumps the rest of your life because you have long-standing immunity. The other thing that's really intriguing about the immune system is that, you know, cancer has long since not been recognized by the immune system. The immune system is extremely powerful. For example, when someone, you've all heard about someone that has a transplanted organ, like a kidney transplant, and they reject the organ because their immune system responds against it. They do that because the organ is viewed as foreign. Cancer is not viewed as foreign, and the mechanisms for that were really, until recently, not very well understood. And one of the best examples of that is when a woman is pregnant, she carries a fetus inside of her. That fetus is not her because it's half her and half her husband, but the body does not reject it. You are tolerated, you tolerize to it, it's called, and that mechanism has been studied. That study is immunology, and that has led to many immunotherapies today where we are using the immune response and redirecting it towards cancer. And for the first time in a long time, we're seeing cures in diseases that we never saw before. So the study of the immune system has become really an important part of every cancer center across the country. And we in Buffalo have had a strong immunology program for years, and so it's one of the reasons that we've been able to make such a positive impact in this disease and that we have so much promise for the future.
Dr. Johnson, you've been at the forefront of a lot of discussion today, particularly around the COVID-19 pandemic. Is that a reflection of just what you said in terms of our body's ability to deal with a new virus?
It is, and you know, one of the things that has really been up, if there's a positive for this COVID pandemic, cancer centers across the country have really stepped up. And even though you might think, why would a cancer center be involved in therapies for COVID? But one of the things that has happened, I mean, cancer patients, you know, and we've talked about this before, cancer patients, their immune systems are suppressed because of their cancer, because of the treatments for their cancer, and so they're more susceptible to COVID. So we've tried through all this pandemic to really help protect our patients and been very quite successful. But COVID, the interesting thing about COVID is COVID, you hear about people that go on ventilators, and once they get to a ventilator, the prospect for them to recover is slow and slim. And what happens in COVID is you have sort of an immune response storm that happens in your lungs. Your lungs become totally filled with immune cells and you can't breathe. That's why people are shortness of breath. Their lungs have an immunology directed storm in their lungs. And so we understand the mechanisms of what's what is going on in the lungs. And so we have, and many others around the country, have developed some therapies that were used in cancer, but actually have application in helping people to recover more quickly from COVID-19. And so managing COVID-19 patients has really been much better in this country because of cancer centers and because of their interest in the immune system.
You know, that's remarkable, Dr. Johnson, because I don't think there's a 10% of our local population has any idea about what you just said, and I'm very glad that you shared that with us. The issue of therapies, obviously, is the forefront of the fight against COVID-19. How would you say we're doing as a nation and really as a world in developing effective therapies that can be widespread enough to hopefully bring this somewhat under control?
Well, I think for COVID, it's really twofold. One are therapies once you get the disease, and that's something that immunologists, not only in cancer centers but across the country, are really trying to develop new approaches at the disease. And it's been, you know, viral diseases are a little trickier once you get the disease, but keeping that disease in check. So, you know, many of the therapies that are being developed now, and I have great optimism that they're going to come to fruition, will help you. You can get COVID, and you're not going to land in the hospital from it, so you can deal with it much like you can any flu. The vaccine is really the promise that all of us hold out. And, you know, there are vaccine approaches that are being investigated all around the world. And it's a tall task to develop a vaccine for something that's never been done before in a very short period of time for a whole variety of reasons. But I am very hopeful that we will have some sort of vaccine. It may not work 100% of the time, but if we can get most of the population protected from it, I think it'll go a long way. And then we'll have therapy. We'll have more development on therapies that can help us once you get the disease if the vaccine's not working. But I'm not sure, at least this is just Candace Johnson's opinion, I think that I think if you listen to Dr. Fauci, I think it's more realistic to think that after the first of the year, these vaccines will become available. And remember, even if they're available, you have to get them to the population, and that's sometimes a tall task too.
I've been following this as closely as I can, as many people have, and it seems to me that there's numerous, something like 300 different efforts going on around the country and the world to develop this vaccine. How do you, as leader of a major institution like Roswell Park, how do you coordinate efforts with other institutions like yours and other research institutions?
Well, we, you know, people always think that maybe we're in competition with each other, but it's actually totally the opposite. There are interactions. You know, one of the positives about Roswell Park being an NCI-designated center is we have strong ties to all the other NCI-designated centers around the country and other academic institutions. These are through scientific collaborations. This is me picking up the phone and calling the director of Memorial Sloan Kettering to talk to him. It's Craig Thompson about issues and things that we may want to do. We send patients if we think another cancer center has a new novel therapy. You know, we have novel therapies, but other cancer centers do too, that could help our patients. So we're constantly interacting with each other, talking to each other. And, you know, the positive about the COVID epidemic is now you can Zoom call anybody. Instead of flying to go meet someone, you can Zoom them, and you can, within a matter of minutes, connect with them, see them on the screen, talk to them, and so it's really helped with collaborations. So we're all in this together, and everyone is really trying to put this forward. It's a, you know, if you remember, and I was a very little girl when this happened, but when the polio vaccine became to disseminate to the population, they brought people into high schools. I can remember there was like a little sugar cube that had it had the vaccine in it when I was a little girl, and so it was but it was a way to immunize the whole population. So many of us are thinking, how is this all going to work? healthcare institutions will get vaccines to disseminate to the physicians and nursing staffs and so forth. But to get it to the population, it has to be a coordinated effort to be able to disseminate it. And so, you know, we all work together, and I'm optimistic that we're going to find a way to do this.
Speaking of working together, you're located on the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, which is really something that has been a masterpiece to see evolve in our community. And you've been here for that entire experience. Prior to that, most of our medical community centers were viewed as kind of islands. They were not really working together. This show is about helping people invest, protect and enhance their investment in real estate here in Western New York.
Yes.
How important has the development of the campus been in your mind in terms of the whole development of our community, in terms of the willingness of people to invest in research here, for example, as well as just invest in general in our community?
You know, I think it's absolutely been critical, and you're right. I've sort of seen it where we were, and Roswell, quite honestly, was very much, it's always been a fantastic institution, but it was very ivory towerish and really didn't reach out to the community and try to work together as much as it could. And I'd like to think that I helped to bring some of that to fruition. But I think that all of us working together has, in the medical campus, has been huge. UB has their incredible medical school, their beautiful buildings. So training has come back to the medical campus. Buffalo General and Gates Vascular, you know, they have preeminent capabilities in those areas. And so being able to have our patients have access that have cardiac problems and need their services has been tremendous. And so I think, and then the other thing that I love is the development around the medical campus. So now, you know, COVID has sort of put a stop to that, but I know we'll get back to it. You know, new restaurants, new places for people to live right next to the medical campus, the development of Main Street. All of that is so exciting because it's bringing commerce and people are, you know, living downtown more. And so I just think it's a phenomenal thing, especially when I first moved to Buffalo. My goodness, the downtown whole area was not very well developed. And look at it today. It's phenomenal.
You're right. It is remarkable. Those were some dark days way back when, back in 2002, when you first came to town. And I can imagine coming from Pittsburgh, as you did, I believe it was Pittsburgh, it must have been, I don't know if it was it a shock to you? I mean, was it depressing coming into Buffalo at that time, or could you see the light at the end of this tunnel?
Well, I could, I guess, and I the thing about Pittsburgh is a wonderful city, and what they have done in Pittsburgh, even when I was there, was incredible with developing the downtown. But Pittsburgh was a very their restaurants weren't, and this is in 2002, their restaurants weren't as developed as Buffalo. The sort of whole sense of the city was just different. I mean, Buffalo to me was sort of, when I moved here, it seemed like this sort of hidden jewel that just needed a little bit of nudging and love and perhaps financial investment to really blossom. And actually, that's indeed what happened. But I can remember when I first, this was 2002, so here I was at Roswell. I was on a weekend. I was working. And I needed to repair some jewelry. I had these earrings that needed to be repaired. I knew there was this Main Street Mall downtown. And I, you know, every mall has those kiosks that could fix jewelry. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go down there and see if I can get my jewelry fixed. Well, when I walked into that, to the location, I thought, oh, my goodness. I thought, what has happened to me? Where have I moved? Because it was at the end of Main Street Malls. I'm sure at some time it was a huge, because it looked like it was at one time a very, very beautiful mall and very ahead of its time, perhaps, for downtown. But when I visited them in 2002, that was not the case. So I really thought, oh, my goodness, where have I moved? But I tell you, I knew that things were going to turn around. And I also knew that there may have been the Main Street Mall that wasn't so so good, but there were so many other places in Buffalo that were good, and the spirit of the people is just incredible. And so, and I haven't been disappointed one bit. Buffalo is an incredible place, and when we get recruits that move here from all over the world and the country, they're blown away with what they find here, because Buffalo is just, and you know, there's so many people credited with that, with the renaissance of the city. So I'm delighted to be here, and I wouldn't want to be anyplace else.
Way back when, even before you got here to town, Dr. Johnson, there were three areas of our community that were cited as important legs of a stool, so to speak, that if they were to develop successfully, that our community could come back. One was the Peace Bridge, the other was Waterfront, and the third piece was the medical campus. And at least two of those, I think, have had remarkable, staggeringly successful turnarounds. But we do, obviously, with the issues with COVID-19 and our access to Canada, things are all different now. But for a long time, we were actually moving in that direction, too. And had that happened, and I think it still will, hopefully sometime not too far off, sure. I believe we're going to have the makings of a real core of our community, anchored in part by the medical campus, that will be something for the world to take note of.
I agree. I mean, the location of Buffalo, you know, everything about it is, it's just an incredible place. And so, and you know, we've realized a lot of this. We have a little ways to go. COVID stopped us a little bit, but we'll get back there.
We will get back there, and I'm hoping that whatever the new normal looks like, it arrives here sometime soon. We do have to go to a break in a minute, but The last thing I wanted to ask you about is, and this would take a whole show, I'm sure, but no one wants to get cancer. That's obviously terror in most people's minds. One of the things that always interests people, though, is what they can do to, in their lifestyle and how they live, what they eat, and everything else to protect against that. When we come back from the break, I'd like you to comment on Roswell's research in that area, as well as any advice you might have for our public in terms of what it takes to not be a patient at Roswell Park, I should suggest.
Look forward to it.
And we'll be right back with more from Harold Steers after these important messages.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome to the West End, Buffalo's premier luxury waterfront development in the heart of downtown. Starting at $850,000, each townhome-style unit features three bedrooms, three and a half bathrooms, high-end finishes, hardwood floors, soaring ceilings, two-car attached garage, and much more. With only 20 units being built, now is the time to make your appointment to view this landmark development from Simonelli Real Estate. For more information, visit westinbuffalo.com or call the exclusive listing agent, Deacon Tasker, with Hunt Real Estate at 280-7787.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the continuously updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across Upstate and through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and also Boston, Massachusetts. You'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage effectively, allowing you to buy the before but live the after, that's 633-3700. And ask for details about this and also about our pre-purchase commitment, our warm home loan, and even our second look program. If you do watch any television these days, and I'm sure you're watching a lot of it, you might see an ad or two about some mortgage company that promises to rocket you to the next great mortgage commitment at the lowest possible price. You want to make sure that you're getting the best deal in town, and the best way to do that is by calling Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700, and ask us to take a second look. That second look is free of charge, no cost whatsoever. As a matter of fact, if we can't beat the deal you have, we'll give you a gift certificate. So all you have to do is call 633-3700. Just want to pick up the phone and ask any question about real estate. There's only one place to call, the Hunt Real Estate ERA Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America, 633-9400. We'll either answer your question right there on the phone or direct you to the appropriate professional who will. Whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have, remember our guarantee stands. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's a seller security plan available only through Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. I'm live remote this morning with Dr. Candace Johnson, who is the president and CEO of Roswell Park. Let me see if I get the name right on this. The Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Is that correct, Candace?
That's correct.
Great. Well, I knew it was Roswell Park Memorial Cancer Institute, I think it used to be called at one point in time.
It did. I'm not, you know, that was before my time. I'm not quite sure. I think that one of the things patients thought that names like that were a little dire sounding, and we wanted to be a little bit more upbeat because we're a place of hope, where people come to survive their cancer, not succumb to it. So I think that was some of the rationale for the name changed.
And that's only one of many changes. I unfortunately, like most people who are listening to this show, we've cancer has touched our lives, and either ourselves or our family. And it's important that we have a place like Roswell Park to go to. And I must say that the transition that has taken place since you've been there has been remarkable. Candace, I remember the first time I walked in there to visit a friend who was receiving treatment, and I was completely blown away. There was music playing. I mean, the whole interior was completely changed. It was someone greeted me. It was truly phenomenal. How did you go through that transition? Before we get to the question I asked you before the break.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I think, and I don't mean this to be a sexist sort of statement, but I think that. I think as a woman, I think surroundings, I did a lot to just visually what you see when you walk through those doors. Artwork to me is really important. We have so many, so there's artwork everywhere that you, when you walk through, even in the treatment rooms, even in the exam rooms, such that, and these are for the most part donated pieces from Western New York artists. And they're beautiful. They're showpieces, many of them. We also have a very strong tie to the Albright Knox. We actually have a little art gallery where we feature art from Western New York in the hospital where patients, families, even employees can go. And I'm telling you, when you go in there and they shut those doors, it's like you're at Albright Knox. We actually started this as a collaboration with them. That's a whole other story, But I think that it goes to the notion about when you have cancer or you think you have cancer, you are terrified. Sometimes I think and studies have shown, people don't even hear things that are being said to them because they're in such a state. And so we wanted to make a place where you could walk through the doors and actually feel like you were getting almost a hug, that you felt you could sort of feel safe. We tried to do this with COVID. Patients were so terrified to go anywhere. And, you know, when you have cancer, you can't stay away. You need to come in and get your treatment or get your diagnosis or determine your sort of steps forward. And so that's been, so the lobby, all the areas of the hospital, most everything over the past few years have been spruced up, renovated, and you know, I think it's really important, and I think it has made it a place where people feel comfortable to come, and that's important because you know, many times your treatment choices can make the difference between, you know, you're surviving your cancer or having a much different course.
No question about it, and certainly your mental framework is critical to that. And you mentioned art, which is extremely important to me. I wish I knew more about it, but there's no question that art does one thing that you've cited indirectly in what you just said, and it lifts the spirit. There's no question about that. And if you can bring some art and joy and music into someone's life as they're facing these incredible challenges, it would seem to me that would be brilliant, if nothing else.
Actually, did Dr. Khursheed Guru did a study. He's a surgeon, And one of the, this was a collaboration with Albright Knox, and it's why we put this little gallery into the hospital, is we took patients that had just had surgery, and as they were recovering, we brought them into the gallery, and they spent time walking around, maybe sometimes pushed around because they were in a wheelchair, or sitting in different places looking, and we have some interactive art and a variety of things. And then they filled out a survey. How did it make them feel? And the results are going to be published. There's an abstract that's been written. But as you could well imagine, art had a very positive effect on people recovering from their surgery. And I have to tell you, myself, you know, my days are hectic. You know how you get sometimes. You're like a wreck. Mm-hmm. And when you walk into this room where this art is, you could just feel yourself relaxing and sort of taking a deep breath. And so I think art is important. And even in an exam room, here you are. I mean, you're sitting there waiting for the doctor to come in. And here's this beautiful piece of art that you can hopefully look at and maybe take your mind away a little bit. So I think art plays a big role, and it's a big part of what we do. And we have a wonderful art committee that these are volunteers that connect up with Western New York artists. It's not that you want to come to Roswell Park and take an art tour, but you could because there are so many pieces worth seeing, and we think it's an important part of our center.
I imagine that it might have something to do with the chairman of your board. I'm just guessing.
It does. Michael Joseph is an extremely supportive, incredible man, and he and Roberta have really helped. And one of the reasons that we have the little art gallery is because of the generous contributions of Michael Joseph. So, yes. So it's been a very big positive.
The institute itself is a state institution. How does that work, Candace? It's hard for us to, a lot of us, to understand where the state comes into this picture, or if we would even have an institution like Roswell Park if it weren't for the state.
Well, you know, the state, it's a public benefit corporation with the state of New York. So ECMC is a public benefit corporation with the county. So we are a state funded institution. We're not really a state-run institution because the way the PBC is set up, we have a lot of autonomy. And when it was established in 1999, the Public Benefit Corporation, the state funded over half of its, its operating costs. So it was really dependent on the state for funding. As we have gone through, and in fact, we went from a 200 million entity to over a billion entity, Roswell Park is today. And the state still gives the same amount of money, but it really only makes up less than 10% of our operating costs. So we have we've done a good job with the money that the state has given us. And it really, you know, I like to think of myself as a partner with the state of New York, that we are here to deliver cutting-edge innovative care to the residents of New York State and beyond, and people everywhere to get the best cancer care. But we are here for New York State, and because we're the only NCI-designated center outside of Manhattan in the state of New York. And also, if you look sort of towards Ohio, there's a comprehensive cancer center in Cleveland and in Columbus, and there's one in Pittsburgh, but there's none between, you know, all around us. And also in Canada, you'd have to go into Toronto to get the kind of care that Roswell Park delivers at the Princess Margaret. So we get Canadian patients. We get people from all over those geographic areas, but we also draw people from all over the United States. So I think that I am here for the state of New York and for Governor Cuomo. We work very closely with him. We help him with his guidelines on breast cancer screening, for example, on smoking cessation programs. You know, one of the things, and this goes to the question you asked me, you know, if we could if people would stop smoking, oh my goodness, it would be incredible as far as the what it would do to cancer and cancer rates, because it's not only lung cancer, it's bladder cancer, it's GI cancer, it's many cancers are affected by smoking. But we work with the state of New York to help Governor Cuomo with the issues that he is trying to formulate. And so I find our connection with the state of New York is a very big positive.
Well, I'd like to hear more about that, not just the connection to the state, but the efforts that Roswell Park and others are making to hopefully not just provide treatment and therapies and hopefully a cure for cancer someday, but also to help us to avoid it altogether.
Yes.
And we'll be back with more from our upstairs after these very important messages.
Welcome to the West End, Buffalo's premier luxury waterfront development in the heart of downtown. Starting at $850,000, each townhome-style unit features 3 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, high-end finishes, hardwood floors, soaring ceilings, 2-car attached garage, and much more. With only 20 units being built, now is the time to make your appointment to view this landmark development from Simonelli Real Estate. For more information, visit westinbuffalo.com or call the exclusive listing agent, Deacon Tasker, with Hunt Real Estate at 280-7787.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the continuously improving huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the second look program. Call them today, 633-3700. We're engaged in what I consider to be a very important conversation today with Dr. Candace Johnson, the president and CEO of Roswell Park Comprehensive Care Center. I just want to make sure I get that right. And, you know, it's been prior to the break, I've asked a question twice now, and it's really something that is near and dear, I think, to everyone's heart, and that is how, from a person like you, Dr. Johnson, how you would suggest we change our lives, lead our lives, or whatever, to hopefully lessen the burden on a place like Roswell Park.
Yes.
So what things, besides, you mentioned stopping smoking, which obviously is a huge, huge factor in
one. At top of mind for most everybody. And, you know, I think we can all say that's really changed in the last 10 to 20 years where, you know, you don't have an ashtray on your coffee table anymore. Most people don't. And I can remember growing up that was the case. So we have changed sort of smoking habits. And it's made a huge difference. Vaping, we could spend a whole show on vaping. We have that's also an issue that we're very worried about in young folks. But so those are pretty apparent things that you could do to decrease your risk. But you know, we have a big group of individuals that are looking at diet and things that we can eat and shouldn't eat and so forth. And you know, there are details about this that are very interesting, but I think the overall picture is you need to eat in moderation. You know, it's not red meat, too much red meat's perhaps not good for you. Correlation between high red meat consumption and perhaps some colon cancer. There are studies that say that, but not eating red meat doesn't give you a lot of nutritious components to your diet. So I think moderation is good. So a balanced diet with fish and meat. Some people don't eat red meat for a variety of reasons, but chicken and other things that can give you that protein and nutrition that you need. Vegetables, cruciferous vegetables, all those things are really important. So, you know, I think it's sometimes it's confusing because there's so much out there. Don't eat this, eat this, eat this, don't eat this. And so I usually try to tell people that I think that you can eat almost anything. You just have to do it in a balanced way. And you need to make sure you have lots of fiber in your diet, whether that's from vegetables or some other source. And so I think diet is really important. and exercise, all the things that you sort of know that you need to do to be healthy, to keep cancer away, is true. So, and you know, we've done studies. The other thing that we have done is to look at, there are certain practices, for example, lactation. So breastfeeding babies, if you breastfeed your child, you're going to have a lower risk of breast cancer. And this is especially true in African-American women, where African-Americans, and we don't know the reasons for this, we're studying it, but African-Americans, when they get breast cancer, or for African-American men, when they get prostate cancer, many times they have a much more aggressive course of that disease. They don't do as well sometimes. And so early detection in those groups is really critical. And so why is that? And so we're looking at all kinds of factors. One might think, well, maybe it's access to health care. And that indeed may be true, but there appears to be something else. And so we're trying to sort of determine what that might be. And we do very, you know, basic science kinds of questions, looking at molecular kinds of markers that may be present in individuals that could put you at higher risk for cancer. So if you knew that you were at higher risk, you know, many times there are familial type of situations where you have, maybe you have a mother, grandmother that died of breast cancer. That puts you automatically, even not looking at some sort of molecular marker, that puts you at higher risk for breast cancer. So you're a woman that you need to make sure you get your mammograms every year, and maybe you need to get, you need to start screening for breast cancer earlier than, quote, the general population because you have this higher risk factor. So we're looking at definitive things where people could be screened and looking at a variety of different sort of, quote, markers that's going to tell you that whether you're at high risk or not. We're seeing, unfortunately, a higher incidence of younger people getting colon cancer. Colon cancer used to be a thing that you just worried about later in life, and that's not been true. And so what are the factors involved in that? So I think it's a combination of sort of prevent cancer is, you know, a healthy diet, and you know, no smoking, exercise, all those positive things that we all want to do for our health, for a variety of reasons, whether it's for your heart or for cancer, but also determining sort of your risk based on, you know, your family experiences, and are there markers that may be more prevalent that we could screen for to help you keep your risk down, and, you know, being able to do screening earlier in life. So all these things, I think, make a huge difference. And, you know, early detection does work. When cancers are detected earlier, you have a much better chance to not only survive, but to be cured.
Well, you know, all that you're saying is I think brilliant, and everyone should hear that. I've kind of looked at this in my life kind of from a little bit backwards perspective. I've tried to design, and I don't know if there's any thought along these lines in the medical community. I've tried to design what would be the ideal diet, lifestyle, et cetera, that would contribute less to the possibility of incidence of cancer or heart disease, the major chronic diseases. Is there any study, or has there been any work done, or is there work being done on kind of a prescriptive lifestyle, that paint a picture of a lifestyle that would be best suited for a healthy existence?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it goes to this eating, the moderation. You know, obesity is a risk factor for so many things, including cancer, you know, heart disease, diabetes. And so, you know, not overeating is also important, depending on what you eat, is critical too. So, you know, I guess the confusing part, and this may be confused to your listeners, is that, you know, if you sort of did a Google search about what's the best diet, you'd get a million different choices.
That's right. That's exactly right. I've done it.
The different things. Eat grapefruit. Eat this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I would say is, to simplify all of this, is you ought to, everyone ought to try to eat responsibly. In other words, lower calories, Obesity is something everybody should pay attention to, and try to have a well-balanced diet where you're eating fruits and vegetables and enough protein, whether it be plant protein or through meats or fish, and try to eat a balanced diet and not get too crazy about what you're eating and not eating.
I'd like to shift gears if I can, Dr. Johnson. I had invited Scott Beeler to join us on the show today just because he's a good friend of both of ours, and he certainly is a great friend to Roswell Park. And it goes back to what you were mentioning earlier about how the Institute itself is funded. How much do you rely on just public gifts and the generosity of our perhaps our listeners?
Well, you know, it's a huge part about what we do, and the, you know, this community is so giving, and you know, Scott Beeler, my goodness, there isn't a better man to this community. And it's not that he just gives to Roswell Park. Scott Beeler, as you know, Peter, he gives across the board to people in need. He's an amazing individual. I'm not sure I've ever met anyone quite like Scott. He's the real deal. Scott Beeler is who he is. And so we have, and West Her has just been such a huge help to us. But, you know, philanthropy is does so much, because what it does is, you know, you can write grants to support a research project. We get money from a variety of different sources of, you know, the money that we get from, quote, even just our clinical revenues and so forth, help to run the hospital, help to fund the research efforts. But how do you fund those sort of innovative ideas where you don't have any established funding for it? And these are the things that really make a huge difference sometimes in a new and novel therapy. I mean, we now have this, for example, a vaccine that is being developed for brain cancer, which, you know, when someone hears you have a brain tumor, you think, oh my goodness, how many months do they have to live? Not even how many years do they have to live. And so we're very excited about this brain tumor vaccine. It's been, the philanthropy, for example, helped to pay for the initial clinical studies for it. And now, over the next few months, it's being rolled out to 20 different institutions across this country for further testing, still being supported by donations. So donations help us with these innovative therapies, and we couldn't do it without it. They also provide funds for quality of life grants that help, you know, just make things easier for patients. We have angel funding that help. Many times families have extended stay at the hospital for their treatment, and their families are here from another part of the state or the country, and they don't have a place to stay, and they don't have the funds or the available dollars to be able to stay close to their family who's being treated at Roswell Park. And so we have angel funds that help with that. So philanthropy, we really couldn't do what we do without philanthropy. It's an amazing part about what we do. And this community is so generous to us. I can't tell you, Peter. I get blown away. And I was at the University of Colorado for many years. I was at the University of Pittsburgh. And those are great communities. Nothing like Western New York and Buffalo as far as giving. This is an incredible community, and we couldn't do it without them.
There's no question about that, and I never cease to amaze me what we come up with in this community to support one another, and I think it's remarkable how well the institution, the Cancer Center has done with just public support. But one of the things that is coming up right away is the summer ride for Roswell. How is that going, and you kind of reimagine the whole thing?
Well, you know, we had to. This was a ride that was 8,000 riders and 2,000 volunteers. Well, you can't do events like that because of COVID. And you know, we raised $6 million last year in the ride. And this was their 25th anniversary. We had great hope for what we were going to do this year, and a big celebration. We couldn't do it. So we had to reimagine it. And so what we've done is, We have about 5,000 riders, and you can do a couple of different things. We had three different weekends. Today is the last weekend of this, where you can have small groups come together and ride as a family. And we had routes. We have some routes. They're socially distanced, so it's no one is together in a big crowd. They're timed, so they they start and end all through the weekend. This is at UB, Akron, and Grand Island. And we've had a wonderful socially distanced turnout for all of these. You can also just be a virtual rider. You can also just go on a ride in your own neighborhood and raise some money, go online. And so we've tried to give people capabilities to do all of this. And, you know, once again, here we have a ride for Roswell, that's and West Her has been right there, and Scott in supporting us. But, you know, we think we're going to raise about $3.4 million
that's excellent.
On that. So, wow. People have just been so incredible. And we're going to have this TV special that Channel 2 is airing on the 21st of August at 8 p.m. Steve Tasker and I are hosting to sort of show what we've done with the ride this year. So it's we've tried to make do with what we have. And, you know, even the Peloton, which was this race that was so 200 riders, this year it was 50 riders. And we've just tried to do what we can and be as, you know, I think we're all striving for a little normalcy. And so even to have just a little bit of the ride that's a little bit like it was last year makes people feel a little more normal and like they're contributing, because cancer's not going away, and it gives people an outlet to help us, and it's just been fantastic.
Dr. Candace Johnson, President and CEO of Roswell Park Cancer Center, thank you very much for being with us this morning. I've enjoyed this very much, and sorry we don't have more time, but we'll be back again next week at the same time. I'd like to thank our listeners for being with us, and remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.
WBEN Buffalo, WKSE HD3 Niagara Falls, a radio.com station.
With the new iPhone SE for less than $100 at Metro, you rule. It's the most affordable iPhone on the number one brand in prepaid. So whether you're studying online or FaceTiming,
hey, Mom.
Hi, dear.
The iPhone SE has all you need. Switch to Metro and get the iPhone SE for $99.99 after rebate redemption and 6 months of service with AutoPay. Metro by T-Mobile. Rule your day. Limit one per account slash household. Requires port and ID validation. Not valid for numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Restrictions apply. See store for details.